This is Romney, reel 10.
Now, trench feet are the result which would be of any wound if the bandages were left on several days and allowed to perhaps go septic, which they would, split and crack, and anything in soddy water in the trenches. Trench feet, you see, soaking wet for days. They had been to hospital and had bandages put on, but although they'd had the bandages put on, the bandages had been on for 2 or 3 days. So we could go and fetch them over. Because remember the channel, you couldn't just go across the channel. I had to wait until we'd arrived from Malta, and therefore we could go straight away. And all the other little ships, I think, went across. Regular. I can't see that their feet would have been any use to them for some long time.
What sort of condition were their feet in?
Oh, shocking. First of all, you took their boots off and stockings off as they lay down, of course. They're all cot cases, every one. I couldn't stand up, I don't think. Well, then you had to get some water and swab it to get the bandages wet. They probably dried up in their soaking condition. And then you had to sometimes pull them off, which must have been very painful. I mean, what else could you do? What you had to do was, you were only going to have them for the time it took to cross the channel and give them a food and seated them all together. Well, you dragged off the rather septic and bloody and anything else, bandages which had been on these sore trench feet, and you had your tray of clean sandwiches and certain powder and a swab to clean the foot and put on a new bandage, you see, round and over the foot to here. And then that's all you could do. See, nothing else could be done, but it was cleaned up and an antiseptic put on it and a powder and until it arrived, they arrived at Southampton when they would be taken into hospital. But this would be evening, which it was when we got them off the ship in Southampton, and then they got to get to a hospital. It would be the next day before that dressing was changed, but it had been put on a clean dressing, and that was all we could do. But of course, to do that was a great help to them, because the longer that awful stuff that had been put on in France was on, the worse the feet became.
What sort of psychological condition were these men in?
Well, they weren't too bad. They weren't, you see, they hadn't been out in the Balkans. They hadn't got Balkan trap. They'd been in the trenches by the River Somme, you see, mostly, in the trenches. And they'd all been together, and French people know people around, and houses and things, you see. They weren't stuck right for months on end and seeing nothing. And awful animals, you see. And food poor, you see. What was in the way of food? The officers used to shoot wonderful game. And my special friend, you see, ran the vet, a big vet camp in front of it. The horses had to be seen to. He would go up to Lake Douala and shoot a grebe or something nice and have it cooked in his cook and give me food. And he had a special bed made for me, high up in the air of canvas, and for the legs to put in water for the scorpions, you see, as I told you. He had the bed made. Then he had a little trap he'd got from somewhere, a little pony, and he trained one of the men so that it was waiting for me by the port and drove me up to the camp for the day, and back up the next day, and a proper meal. What time is it? Oh, yes. It's actually because of the lunch, yes. Oh,
so
plenty of time.
So you returned to England on the ship and were immediately sent to the...
Yes, yes.
When did you know you were going to go back to Sri Lanka?
Well, we were taken then, after we'd done so many runs and this, We went round, I think, to Liverpool, and we got leave to go home. I think this is, well, it would be correct, wouldn't it? They would never let us go after 18 months away or a year away and not get home leave, you see. I don't remember it, of course, and not the slightest. And then we went round to Liverpool.
Did your parents try to stop you from going back?
Oh, no, well, they couldn't. I was in the army. You can't there. If you desert, you go to prison, sort of thing. I was an army officer, after all. So they sent us to Ireland. They sent us to Ireland because they'd got some men to send over. Patients. And I thought, I've never been to Ireland. Another excitement this is. Yes, Ireland. We went to Dublin. To Dublin, our hospital ship. Once arriving at Dublin, I'll never forget, apart from a band playing, a hospital-equipped train stood before us. The matron was dressed almost in satin, and the Red Cross and capes and things. And the doctor himself in charge, the RAMC colonel, was also in some splendid uniform. And all the rest were in wonderful uniforms. And they at once told the nursing staff and the doctors that motor cars would be waiting at 2 o'clock to take them round Dublin and out to dinner. That was a great change, of course. Well, it began to snow. Yes, it began to snow. Well, I never saw the people coming on, soldiers coming on, because that was a simple operation. I don't think to do with it. I don't think anything to do with it. It just came on, you see, and the orderlies. I don't know. All I know is we got in the cars. And we went to a place called Phoenix Park. Very fine park, I thought it was. And they gave us a sit-down tea at once in a very beautiful hotel. All paid for by the Irish, of course, who weren't fighting, I don't think, whatever it was. And we had this lovely tea. And it was getting dark, because it must have been winter because of the snow. And they gave us another go-round, and then they said, well, you've got to go aboard, because, you see, we might have to move back. And I think we did. We moved back again, you see. Well, it was dark, and because of submarines in that North Sea. And that's all I've ever seen of Ireland, or ever want to. But I shall never forget, of course, the Red Cross in Dublin. Well, I mean to say, it was an opportunity. Talk about dressed up. Oh, yes, lavish. And when we got back again, you see, to Liverpool, it was then that they said, prepare, you're going back to Salonika. That was it. But we had a look round in England. We found that, of course, the food wasn't very much better, nor worse. But, I mean, it hadn't got so bad in Salonika then, you see. It really hadn't. It got worse and worse as the torpedoing of the boats and things, and our letters went down, and you know. Not that I was happy, so it's good. Very happy. Deliriously happy. So it never did.
As an English woman in Ireland, did you come up against it?
No, it was a different war. A different war, dear. World War One, all that kind of thing. It hadn't been, no. The Irish were just the usual Irish.
No, they'd already had the Easter Rising in 1916. And it was before Ireland's independence.
Yes, it was. So that's why we went round Dublin. And Miss Snow, well, it was so charming because we were winning the war for them, or trying to. And that was it. Oh, no. Besides, in 24 hours or less. And we were together, our own people in the cars, not with the Irish, really, just sent us off. They were busy doing this marvellous job of putting the wounded on our hospital ship. It was really funny, you see. It was really amusing.
So you took the Irish wounded back to England? And then you were off to Salonika?
Yes, having got rid of them, we awaited orders. which came very quickly, go back to Salonika. The Reverend wanted, you see.
What were you supposed to do? Would it be more of the same? Were you expecting the Salonika?
Well, we didn't know. You never know. You're not given the orders. Secret orders in the army always. You've never given the army orders. But we knew we were going there. Well, you see, by the time you get through the bay, and you get through them to the Mediterranean, you know there's only about two places then in the Mediterranean you could go to. One was Malta, the other Musa or Alexandria. You couldn't go to the Holy Land or any of these other places, you see. Those were the only ones that you could go to. I believe you could go to something like Tunis. No, those were the only ones. We didn't call in a jib. It was always night when I got to jib, and you could see all the searchlights. And that was all. Never landed. No, we just got to Salonika and lay off. You know, you lay, then no, you don't go right alongside the ports. You just lie off. We lay off, and we were given our order to go to Mudras again. And then we had a wonderful experience. I thought so. We were told to go to a place called Stavros. A lovely word, Stavros. And in the beautiful photographs, trees, was the tomb of Euripides. The tomb of Euripides. And I've forgotten the colonel. There was a colonel of the guards there. I should think of his name in a minute or two. Very old, very. And he made, it was a little village, Stavros, and he made the women bath in the stream as they were dirty. The old ladies were made, and they did. They bathed themselves. This lovely streams of pure water, as you'll see. And to my joy, you see, in these streams, tiny little weenie, not lizards, but what you call them, turtles. Little tiny things as big as that, some of them, with the little legs going, oh. And then by the little white goats photograph, you'd see a large tree, all of white heather. A tree. And the flowers were anemones. Everywhere, anemones, all colours. I was entranced. Going ashore and walking in this heaven, you could pick up coins of the time of Euripides. I brought one home, of course lost it, and had it made into a tie-pin, nice little round coin. Oh yes, you could just, nobody lived there, nobody did anything there. I mean, I think the place was alive with antiques and things. Well, then, where we lay off was a long plain of ground. And on this plain, where it was the first time I saw snowdrops on a stalk bursting out at the top. See, I've seen them in England since. I thought, they can't be snowdrops. I mean, there couldn't be snowdrops, you see. And at this time, with all these enemies, you'll observe the love of flowers, I suppose. I hadn't noticed it myself till this week when Vera went past, you know. Oh, I forgot. Well, all this was on a sort of swampy, lovely green. And then came the hills with all this foliage. And lying off was another ship. It was the War Office in that part of Greece. Very nice. I forget the man. And a very famous man whose forebears had won wars for England, Wellington or somebody like that, you see, one of his descendants, in charge of this ship. And the matron and the Sinderson were asked after tea, and to be surprised you who else was staying to tea. She was. And she was walking along the deck, and she saw a door open, and she wires and things. Oh, said she, Chase, nicely just entering the door, when this admiral gave a most unadmiral-like shout of fear. I was grabbed out. It was, of course, the link with the War Office to England. Yes, this most secret of secrets. The War Office on the Salonika and all the Mediterranean thing, yes. No one ever pleased to see somebody. They were out there for months. Stavros. We only went once. But I'll never forget it. Oh, the beauty. Ooh. Oh, flowers. And then we left Stavros. Why did we go to Stavros? I've no idea. Perhaps somebody was ill on that ship. Or they must have had a small regiment, because this colonel, his name will come in a minute, this colonel was there, is he making the women swim? We didn't see any of them. I only saw this plane. I never saw anything in the army, but hidden amongst all the mountains, the mounds and the trees. Trees.